Welcome to Synthaholics. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is Aaron O'Brien, and we have a special guest today. We have Captain Foley of Trek Yards.
That's right. Thank you very much for having me on the show, guys.
Welcome, welcome.
Very welcome. If you don't know who Trek Yards are, they have this amazing YouTube series where they break into pretty much everything Star Trek ship-related. They've also been doing great Star Trek Discovery breakdowns. And I guess when there's a dry spell between Star Trek ships, they do any ship imaginable. They just recently did a Millennium Falcon and another Star Wars drop ship. And they've done the ship from Black Mirror? Dark Matter.
Yeah. Yes. That's our spin-off show called Fleet Yards, which just... all sci-fi ships. But Trek Yards is our baby that's focusing on Star Trek. Yeah, we've kind of branched out from ships. Now we're doing more like episode reviews and stuff as well. And loving every minute of it. It's awesome.
They're a lot of fun.
You've been enjoying Discovery as well.
I have, actually. It's got its good and its bad. There's things I don't like about it. But overall, I'm really enjoying it. And it's really stepping up its game each episode. And I'm really happy about that. So looking forward.
All right. As far as news, I don't think there's anything super newsworthy this week. Did you hear anything, Aaron or Stuart?
No.
In Discovery news or just
Star Trek news? Discovery. I mean, the Quentin Tarantino thing seems to be more and more sure, although that's not new. They've been talking about it for a while now.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
So tell me, what do you think about that, Stuart?
Yeah, what do you really feel about it?
I love Star Trek. And I love Quentin Tarantino, but the two together, I don't know how I feel about that. He does have a love for Star Trek. He loves TOS. I think he would probably be in the right place, have the good intentions. But whether it would come across well, I'm not sure. And if he's just doing the story treatment, that should be good. But if he's going to be more involved with like directing and stuff, then I'm kind of concerned. But at the same time, I'm very intrigued and interested. I want to see what it would be like.
I wonder if this would somehow win over the people who've been bashing the JJ universe somehow, or if it'll just make them more upset.
Probably more upset.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough call.
Yeah, because it's like, I mean, did they even say it? Where they're going to put it with the original series crew, or are they doing something totally different? I haven't heard anything.
They haven't said, but I know we've talked about before that Patrick Stewart wants to be in it, so. That doesn't necessarily mean anything, but...
Yeah, right. Well, it's interesting, and it'll get more people to, you know, into Star Trek, at least. I mean, whether it has the same ethos or the heart of Star Trek, that's another matter, so...
Absolutely. Yeah, well,
anything that brings in new people is good. I mean, I was kind of opposed to JJ at the beginning, but I still watched it. I still own them all because it is Star Trek. It's something I love, and I'm going to... suck it all in regardless.
Absolutely.
But it's kind of grown on me, and you know, there's, again, same with Discovery, there's certain aspects that I think I don't necessarily agree with and I would have done differently, but that doesn't mean that it's not somebody else's cup of tea and they really love it. I mean, a lot of producers, the general saying kind of is people don't know what they want until you give it to them. You know, they think they know what they want. They want a rehash of the old stuff, but then something new comes along and it brings in not only the new audience, but it wins over the old fans as well. And I think with every Star Trek I've watched, even Enterprise, which I wasn't super happy about because I started messing with the timeline a little bit, my established timeline. So I wasn't super happy about that at first, but now I love Enterprise. I kind of took it for granted when it was on the air, and I feel bad about that because... I kind of tuned out in season 3 with the Zindi story arc.
And then it was gone too soon.
Yeah, and then having gone back and rewatched it, it's very good storytelling. I just wish they would have gone about it more based on the established timeline and canon. But
yeah, and going along with that, you know, with Discovery, a lot of people have different gripes about Discovery itself, but being 10 years before the original series, do you find that's too short of a time, or do you think that's just right to have this big war between the Klingons and the Federation?
I think it's too short of a time. I think that's going to be explained. I think they do have a plan in motion for that to make it make sense, I hope.
Hopefully they've got a plan like the Cylons.
That's what I thought with Enterprise too, that it was gonna, with the Temporal Cold War, they were gonna explain why the timeline was different, and it kind of fizzled out, never really explained that. I was disappointed, so I'm hoping Discovery, they've actually gone in and, you know, I know they've made some changes based on fan reaction early on, so they've added some more episodes at the end, and I think this, the latest developments from Discovery are kind of a, you know, showing that.
Right.
So, yeah.
But Discovery is back this week, and this is dropping a little bit later because there was a birthday of my fiance this week, so we're dropping a little bit late. But before we jump into the episode, Captain Stewart, on the Trek Yards, they just recently talked about the Eagle Moss released the canon length of Discovery. This video just came out the other day as the recording of this, and it was super fascinating, the talk they did and the screens they showed comparing Discovery's length to pretty much everything up to the Enterprise E, and it's so long.
It is so long. And this announcement from Eagle Moss has really scrambled a lot of people's brains. They're like, surely that's not right. You know, that's not meters, that's feet, or that's not feet, that's meters. And people are like, well, if it was meters, it would be even worse, and all this. People are losing their damn minds. And they're like, based on what I've seen, through the view screen of the bridge, Lorca must be, you know, 8.5 feet tall. And I've heard so many arguments about this.
Yeah, it's fascinating. The thing, because it's half of its nacelles, it's actually longer than the Enterprise E.
Yes.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy the size. You know, it's weird too, because I was thinking about this the other day, is that certain angles of the Discovery, because you're seeing the disc or the saucer section first, and then you see the nacelles, it seems like it's shorter. But then when you get that, you know, more of a profile look, or you see how long it is, you're just like, that's ridiculous. And like you said, when you line them up to other ships, it's even longer than you even imagine. So it's not that I hate the design of the ship. It's just it seems like it's too accentuated. It's too much.
I agree. I actually preferred the Discovery Alpha, as we called it, the first promo teaser we got way back in San Diego Comic-Con.
I personally hated that. I thought it was way too boxy. I love the design of this one. To me, it's perfect now. It is long. It is overly long, but like I just love the way it looks comparatively.
Yeah, it's not era appropriate though. I mean, for something post Voyager, perfect. Yes, beautiful. I love that profile. But for something fitting in that universe, I love the boxier look of the Alpha. Where the engine attachment was, they attached it at the back of the nacelle so it didn't have that long, scraggly nacelle behind. I just really thought that was more era appropriate.
Sure. If I could play devil's advocate just for a second, and I pretty much agree with what you're saying here, but the thing is that the Constitution class are, what, 20-some years old at this point, or close to it, maybe 15? I'm not quite sure the exact dates when they put into commission, but they're pretty old by this point. Compared to if Discovery is a newer ship, maybe it's a newer design. That's my.
Yeah, but I mean,
After watching your video, it got me thinking that I was thinking that maybe Discovery is like a pre-Excelsior type ship, and then maybe they were able to smish the nacelle smaller into the Excelsior type.
And Excelsior has transwarp, which the original series or the original Enterprises and Constitution classes didn't have. So,
well, that we kind of go into that in the video. We talk about the fact that Discovery could look so different because it is a experimental ship. We're working with an experimental drive, so different size, different. I mean, most of the secondary hull, if you look on the schematics in engineering, when they're using the spore drive, is taken up by the spore drive. And we know it only has a crew of 137 people. They've stated that. Uh-huh. So if you watch our video, we talk about that, how there's room enough in the inner ring for the quarters and things, and the outer ring has that moving elements. which is probably more tech and related to the Spore Drive. So yeah, the Excelsior was also an experimental testbed for the Transwarp Drive, which failed.
Only because Scotty hijacked it.
No, no. Everybody says that. That's not true.
It's not true?
You got to watch our video on the Transwarp
Drive. I'll have to go back to that. I don't think I've seen that one.
Yeah, it did fail. They did a lot of trials with it, and it actually failed. Actually, the interesting thing is, in Star Trek IV, when they get the new Enterprise,
yeah,
one of the displays behind Kirk actually has a Transwarp systems screen. And so the Enterprise supposedly had Transwarp. But at the beginning of Star Trek V, the ship had all these problems. You know why? Because they had to rip out all the Transwarp systems because it proved to be a failure. So the Enterprise was basically just falling apart at the seams.
That makes so much more sense.
I know. They were re-implementing the older equipment back in, and that's why the whole ship didn't work.
And that's why the computer screen sideways inside the turbo lift.
Mm-hmm.
They just ripped that old CRT, yeah?
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, man, that was fantastic. But Despite Yourself aired, episode 10 of Star Trek Discovery, aired this past Sunday night. First impression, non-spoilers, Stuart.
Fantastic. The best episode of Discovery thus far.
I would agree with that.
I think it's going to win over a lot of the people that might have been on the fence or people that are more old school Trekkies. I think this is one that will probably be remembered for the ages and be up there with some of the best Trek episodes, in my opinion.
Aaron.
I don't know yet if I feel it's the best Trek, but I mean, it's definitely one of the best episodes that they put out with Discovery so far. A lot of exciting. There's one small caveat I want to put in, but we'll have to get into full spoilers when we get there, that I had a little problem with, but it's not a big deal. It's just something that irked me with it, but that's about it.
I think this is the best episode of Discovery yet, and my original impressions from episode 5, my theory is correct, and I'm so happy about that. Not saying what it is, because it's spoilers, it's just in case you remember.
Yes.
But
yes.
That my original thoughts were correct, and a lot of other people's thoughts too, but it's amazing. So, cool. Aaron, would you like to retell us the tale?
I'll regale you a tale of Despite Yourself. This is Star Trek Discovery, Season 1, Episode 10, directed by our great commander, Jonathan Franks, and this aired January 7th, 2018. So we start off basically where we left off in Into the Forest to Go with the crew don't know where they've landed. They're surrounded by wreckage. And when they're starting to they're scanning the area, we find the wreckage of a Klingon ship. But then Vulcan ship shows up and opens fire. And when this happens, Discovery's a little taken aback because they don't know who these people are. When the USS Cooper arrives and takes out the Vulcan ship.
I was a little bit disappointed when they said a Vulcan cruiser was coming in because I'm like, oh, sweet, we're getting one of those giant dongs through a circle like they had an Enterprise. And then it was the shuttlecraft. It was the shuttlecraft that Sarek was on. I was like, what? That's not a cruiser. No. Go on, you can. I've finished complaining.
Yeah, no, but it's a good point. I kind of thought it looked a little tiny myself as well. But I guess as we've just discussed, everything compared to Discovery. Tiny, so
hot dog down a hallway.
We get the Cooper makes a little quip to him, says, "Were you spooked by these rebels, Discovery?" And it's an audio only transmission, and they basically say you're losing your edge. So they've already made some kind of like leap that this was either some kind of rebel faction of the Vulcans, but they still don't know where they are. So once they've done a analysis, they find out that a quantum analysis, I believe they've said, that they find that they're in an alternate universe, and that Lorca believes that the mycelium network can take them into parallel universes. And so when they made those 133 jump drives before, he made all these extra scans of the mycelium network and basically mapping out that it's very possible that they're in an alternate reality.
And the Tribble's there and it's cooing.
Yes, it is. So what they end up doing is they send Lieutenant Ash Tyler to retrieve the data core from the Klingon wreckage.
Lieutenant Cool.
Yeah. Cool Hand Luke he is not. So
all that sweat keeps him cool.
Yeah, so he takes this worker bee, and he goes to retrieve the data core, and obviously he starts having a huge PTSD flashbacks of his torture sessions with Laurel, which they're pretty graphic. Even I thought about going back and freezing them frame by frame. I don't know if I really want to. So they look pretty gross, just the little bits I saw. And I mean, horror movies don't usually bother me, but that looked pretty sick stuff.
A little horror in your Star Trek.
Yeah. So when they retrieve the Tyler does retrieve the core. And Michael Berman analyzes the core and learns about the Terran Empire, and basically how the Terran Empire is an oppressive human regime that all the alien species have allied against.
Except the Kelpians, magically.
So at this point, the USS Cooper comes back, and they want to communicate with the Discovery. But Berman says he doesn't want Lorca to speak because he is not the ship's captain. And we find out that Cadet Tilly is the captain, and she is known as a very fearsome captain throughout all the Terran Empire.
I gotta say, that excited me because Tilly's like my favorite, and wow, I was looking forward to the
rest of the
episode.
She looks good as a blonde.
She did not disappoint, I'm telling you.
Not at all.
Yeah,
that breastplate's also pretty amazing.
That's pretty funny.
I would agree.
And everything underneath it too, but you know.
Yeah. We do get this great scene with Tilly where she's, because they're trying to figure out what's going on, and Tilly's obviously hesitant and nervous because that's not what she wasn't prepared to do this. And when she gets in the captain's chairs to talk to the Cooper, she says, "What the heck? Hold your horses." And when they're asking what was wrong with why they didn't respond, they
mechanical issues.
Yeah, they have mechanical issues, and they have Lorca doing a little Scotty.
That was so great.
An engineer.
Yeah, it was a nice little knock.
It was very funny. And so the Cooper basically decides to shuffle off and decides that everyone's okay over at Discovery. So at this point, the crew of Discovery decides they need to change everything to blend into their current environment. So this is where they take the USS Discovery off and make it the ISS Discovery, and they start making.
They didn't show the cool yellow paint job on the rest of the hull, though.
Yeah, they didn't. They took off that racing stripe, I guess.
I did like the way they changed the U on the USS Enterprise to the I. I thought that was really cool. Not Enterprise, sorry, Discovery. It was cool that they just could do that,
and that they showed that real quick. I was like, that's a nice touch.
Yeah.
And they go through everything. They make new pins. They change out their uniforms. They also, I think, they put a giant sticker on the floor for their Empire. So
damn right, that's a cool sticker too. that emblem impressed me. I really
like
that.
I like how they got the Delta upside down in it.
Yep.
Instead of just the knife going through the world, it's like an upside down Delta, which is, I guess, knife-ish shaped.
Yeah, no, it was really cool just how they altered the ship. I don't know if they had records on that from the Klingon ship, or they just made guesses. You know?
No, it was from the data core, yeah.
Okay.
So we also got to see from the data core the USS Defiant.
Yeah, that was the interesting. Well, that was one of the things that they wanted to find out about.
Yeah. And you got to wonder, too, one of the theories that has kind of been kicking around is that, remember Commander Landry, the really annoying bitch?
What?
I'm so glad she died.
Oh, like, I liked Landry.
How stupid are you? Did you notice, though, how aggressive she was? There's a theory that her and Lorca are actually from the Mirror Universe, and the Lorca that's in the Mirror Universe is actually the Lorca from the Prime Universe. That's why he rebelled against them, and he's now a fugitive. But the Lorca that we see, that I absolutely love, I love Lorca, I think he's awesome.
Me too.
He's actually from the Mirror Universe, and that's why he's very confident and knows a lot about this. Like, his attitude is very much spot on for he belongs there. So I don't know if that's the case, but I mean, I want to throw that out there.
God, I've heard that rumor too, and God, I do not want it to be true. I don't, but I feel like this episode might be fueling the fire for that a little bit, except for I don't want him to be, because that means he'll die, and Loki's my favorite character of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting theory. I've heard it too, but it would be interesting to see how that plays out. So they change the whole look, and then they start prepping Cadet Tilly to be Captain Killy. So, yes. Which is pretty funny.
As well as the Witch of Warna Minor and the Slayer of Sarda Prime.
Yeah. Yes.
And I disagree with Saru. Sorry, Captain Killy is very clever. And if it's we do puns on Trek Yards all the time, and that is perfectly Trek Yards pun worthy right there, Captain Killy.
Well, but it does seem like your first character from Dungeons and Dragons, though.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Maybe Kelpians have a more refined sense of humor than humans.
That's very likely.
Since their races are basically cows. The cows of the planet.
Cow humor. Yeah.
Cow humor. But if so we get Tilly getting up to speed and they're changing the uniforms. Next we find out that also on top of that Michael Byrne is the actual captain of the Shinzo, and but she was presumed lost or dead when she was supposed to be hunting down Captain Lorca, who is basically a wanted criminal in the Terran Empire. So this is where they're going to hatch a plan that Michael Byrne's going to return with Captain Lorca in tow, and they're going to take over the Shinzo and try to get information on the USS Defiant and how that transpired and if any information can be gained with that.
Because they were saying that the Defiant crossed over without a spore drive, so they want to find out how and if they can replicate that to get back.
Yeah.
Interesting thing I found about this whole thing is the fact that the Mirror Universe Discovery is in the Prime timeline, and I want to know what it's doing.
Same here. I want to know what it's doing because I want to know what they're messing up. Exactly, if they're attacking, you know, Andorians and Vulcans, just putzing around in the regular universe.
Yeah. Maybe they'll show that. I don't know, but I'm looking forward to finding out.
I'm sorry. I thought they said that the Discovery was destroyed or presumed destroyed.
Nope.
They said it switched places.
They said it switched places with them.
Oh, okay.
Because the other Discovery was in the exact same position.
Okay. And the cool thing is, too, that they were working on that algorithm. They had 11 hours to go to send the algorithm to Starfleet for the cloaking detection. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't sent before they went.
And
so the last order that they received was to go to Starbase 46. And yeah.
I want to see the phone call between Captain Killy and Terrell. I just want to see, if they don't show anything else, I want to see that conversation.
That would be funny.
But with the Defiant, the way they changed the shape, and I thought it was strange the way they displayed the Defiant, because all the other ships you see in Discovery are super detailed and they're super screen accurate, and this one they seemed like they purposely hid they changed details obviously, but it seems like they hid them as well.
They tried to explain that with a line of text saying that it was like top secret and that's why they have to get to the Shinzo to get the full report on it. Like it's almost it's in the data core of the Rebels. They didn't have all the details on it.
Okay.
And the changes, I mean, it went back when it went to the Mirror Universe, it was 100 years in the past, right? So
yeah,
that Defiant's been there for 100 years. Those changes, which a lot of people are up in arms about, not my constitution and all that crap, could be justified as modifications that they made over the course of 100 years.
Yeah, because Hoshi Sato was sitting on that bridge.
Exactly, to add additional weapons and stuff. So I really want to see this Constitution-class ship at some time. I want to see the Defiant. I want to see what they did to it. Hopefully. Whether it's actually, if it's a universe reboot or if it's just modifications.
I mean, I think no matter what, if we see a Constitution class in either universe, I think it's going to be changed at least a little bit to make it look a little bit more modern, because it's almost too sleek in the original series because there's not a lot of detail on it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we're going to be doing an episode talking about all that later this week, actually. So,
and because how hyper-detailed everything is in Discovery, the Constitution's going to look different no matter what. If they pulled the exact model and make it look exactly the same, I'm going to be a little bit disappointed because I'm like,
I won't be.
Everything else is so detailed. And then you go back to this model with almost no detail in it. I'm like, that'd be weird. Just my 2 cents, though.
That was more like a cent and a half, I think.
Yeah, sorry.
I think
inflation. Inflation.
Or deflation.
The American dollar's worth more, I guess. I'm a Canadian, so.
Yeah. Okay, so back to back to the main story. Well, next we get to the sick bay where we have Dr. Culber, and he's looking after Stamets. And Stamets basically is in the same state as he was when we left him. He's got his milky eyes. He's completely incoherent. And when Lorca comes to visit Stamets and Culber to see what's happening, he basically says he's relieving him from taking care of Stamets because he feels that their relationship is clouding his objectivity.
Mm-hmm. And I love the conflict between Hugh and Lorca. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, it was actually maybe the one time somebody stood up to Lorca.
Well, Hugh's done it before. He's kind of always been in Lorca's face. So I don't know.
It was more of a very standoffish. And Lorca, he kind of took some of his points as, yeah, well, maybe I, you know, pushed him too far, blah, blah, blah. And this war thing has made me, you know, a little more obsessive. But, you know, he basically justifies that this is something I, you know, we had to do.
Can save trillions of people. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Culber.
This is a time where needs of the many could come into effect, and I wouldn't be upset.
Yeah, indeed. Now are we gonna mention Stamets' ramblings about the palace? Don't go to the palace.
I was gonna mention that.
Yeah, I think it has a very significant meaning. I do not think it's by accident at all.
No. Because for the whole episode, I'm thinking, what the hell does that mean? I mean, he's talking about the forest and all this. But then at the end of the episode, I had a realization when I watched it the second time around to take my notes for a review. I thought to myself, who lives in palaces? Kings, emperors. I think at some point somebody's going to go to the emperor's palace, and that's what he's referring to. He's actually seeing that literally, don't go to the palace, be careful kind of thing.
The thing that came to my mind was in a religious sense, you know, the body is, they call it the palace of God and some other things. And I was doing some searches on Google looking for body and palace. And I stumbled across a poem, which I feel like is very, you know, pertinent to the situation, especially considering the body of Ash. The body is a palace, a temple of feelings. To become one with yourself, you have to accept yourself. Please, someone help me.
Where's that from?
This is a poem I found online. I was Googling.
That's deep.
I was Googling palace and human body because like I said, you know, the body being a palace. I think it's Hindu and also referred to that in Christianity as well.
Yeah.
The body being a palace. So I was thinking it was metaphorically. He said, don't go into the palace. Like, don't look inside of Ash's body. Don't go into it. I feel like everything he was talking about was saying, get away from Ash.
That could be. That's what I was looking for the first time, is the metaphorical thing. But then literally I thought, you know, the emperor in the palace. So that's a good discovery on that one.
I like
what I did there.
Yes, I love it. But you're right. It could be literal palace because they are going to where the mirror universe where the emperor is. And Discovery has been extremely good at giving us multiple meanings to things that they talk about.
Yep. Even in their episode titles.
Yeah, especially in the episode titles. Yes.
From there, we get after he gets relieved from taking care of Stamets. Next, we get Ash Tyler visits the imprisoned Laurel. We get this great exchange between them both, where all of a sudden everything we've kind of thought was happening is coming to fruition now.
I was so excited.
Dave is like jumping out of his pants.
Yes.
Can't contain himself because Ash Tyler all of a sudden starts reciting Klingon. I don't know if it was a poem
it's the Klingon prayer.
In Vok's voice with the marshmallows in his mouth. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Kadesh. While he's going through this prayer recital, he's seeming to be changing or something's changing with him, and all of a sudden he snaps out of it and he goes back to his Ash Tyler persona, and he pushes Laurel back into her cell and turns on the force field, and he takes off.
He will come back to me.
Yeah. He'll be back.
He can't resist Klingon Puntank.
Yeah. It had a very Manchurian Candidate feel to it, and they actually mentioned the Manchurian test later.
Yes,
when you came aboard, you had full scans. The Manchurian test is an underlying coding, you know, for assassination or whatever. I thought that was a brilliant touch to add that.
I feel like it was too, except I feel like Dr. Culber is like the worst doctor in Star Trek.
Oh, boy. I thought you used to say McCoy was.
No. Now it's definitely Culber. He is the Janeway of doctors.
Oh no! Here we go.
Actually, <What?
laughs> Dave is very opinionated about his doctors. I'm just going to let you know this.
Well, it's just the Janeway of doctors, or the Janeway of medicine. I actually got from a friend of mine in the Facebook group. We were talking today, and he actually said that when we were talking about uh-oh. Hugh, because when we get back to the part with Hugh talking to Ash. He's like, yeah, the computer didn't find anything. I'm like, didn't you review it yourself? You just let the computer just do everything? You didn't, like, you know, look at it, ask questions? I was kind of taken aback. I'm like, really? You didn't look into this? Like, this guy was on the Klingon ship for 7 months, and you just let the computer give you the A-OK? He's like, yeah, I'm not going to look at that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
And then Landry also got beamed immediately. He couldn't do anything for her. Like, we haven't seen him do any good doctoring. I mean,
but that's the thing is me and you have talked about Ash Tyler being a Manchurian candidate for a while now. And I have vacillated back and forth more than once about this. And one of the things that made me think maybe he's not is that obviously he was tortured for all those months on that Klingon prison ship. And yet they brought him back and he's back in full duty. He must have had a full physical. So I'm assuming they must have done some psychological assessments.
Culber said they did, but he just said that.
I know.
He said the computer data said it was okay, and so he gave him okay. Like, it's like he didn't review it at all himself personally. Just like Janeway, it's like, oh, there's a nebula. Let's go look at it. Let's not worry about getting home.
There's coffee in that nebula.
Oh yeah, we'll forget about all the important things.
And one thing that with this whole Tyler being Vok thing. One thing that always interests me is the tribble on Lorca's desk seems to be decidedly absent as soon as Tyler comes on board the ship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it pops up every once in a while. I have my desk tribble here myself.
We know you're not a Klingon.
So we know right. So that way you know if there's a Klingon around. I feel like that tribble is there for a reason, because I don't feel like Lorca's the kind to keep a cute cuddly pet. I feel like he knows what they're for, and I feel like the tribble has to come into play in a story reason, because Discovery's been really good about the little details, and the little details need to matter.
And with the menagerie he has and the research he does on his own, you would think that he has that for a specific purpose. And it's even been postulated too that the tribble on the desk refers to the prime timeline, Lorca, but when we don't see it on the desk, that's actually a mirror universe. We're seeing a glimpse into that. I don't know if that makes any sense now with what's happened, but that was something that was put out there quite a while ago. I don't know. I don't know what to say about that.
I don't know. That tribble's got to freak out before the end of the season. It's got to. Otherwise, I'll be very disappointed that why he's got a tribble.
Yeah, I have wondered why that tribble disappears once in a while. I just figured he's off feeding on some grain somewhere.
On the fortune cookies?
He's got a fortune cookie.
Full of fortune cookies right beside a tribble.
Maybe those fortune cookies are special tribble birth control fortune cookies.
Yeah. Don't feed them after dark. Don't get them wet. Don't bring them. Oh, wait, that's gremlins. All right.
Don't let Cyrano Jones see them.
So we get this whole interaction between Laurel and Tyler. This is where Tyler goes back to Culber and say, hey, I'm going to go on this crazy mission. We're going to go try to take over the Shinzu. I just want to make sure I'm okay. Just, you know, and Culber's like, why? I checked everything over. Are you not feeling good? He goes, no, I'm fine. Just check me over again. So
maybe read the results instead of just, you know, analyze the results yourself instead of letting the computer tell you what to do.
he's fine. All
right, no, he must be fine then.
It should also be stated that I'm not sure that Hugh is the chief medical officer on board this ship, because he does say in one episode, I need to go help the CMO with a tonsillectomy or something. So is he actually the chief medical officer, or is he just a doctor on the board of the ship?
I don't know.
Might not fall on him.
He's got three pips. Most doctors have three pips.
He's a lieutenant commander, but I mean, you're right. He might not be the chief doctor, but then if that's the case, why haven't we met the chief doctor in Discovery?
Yeah.
To be introduced next episode.
Well, speaking of, what happened to the black badges we saw in episode 3? Haven't seen them since.
I've been asking that too.
it's kind of like
Section 31, please.
Yeah,
that needs to pan out by the end of the season as well.
They better bring those black badges back, because I mean, come on, they hinted it and nothing else.
Yeah, it's going to be important at some point, I think, but.
Maybe when they get back.
It's almost like they forgot about it, you know?
I don't think they forgot it. I think it's there for a reason. I think it's going to come back around maybe once they get out of the Mirror Universe. Because all of our other theories are kind of coming to fruition in this episode. So maybe when they get back.
Well, I got one theory that hasn't yet, but that might not come true. Anyway, so we get the Tyler wants Culber to look him over again. And when he does, he finds that he's been literally shortened. With these bone crushing procedures that have like shortened them,
it's like what happened to Riker and Schisms. I wonder if Jonathan Franks wanted to put that in there for fun.
Yeah, I put little clicking noises.
Your arm's been shortened. It's like, oh no, what happened to it?
Oh no, so is your penis.
No.
But what happens is he also finds that he's had these mental. I don't know what they exactly called them, but they basically it looks like they've hidden memory engrams throughout his brain. So he thinks that there's something else is going on with him.
Well, he said there's no evidence of any engrams being placed being replaced on the original level, but he said there's a new theoretical science that engrams could be placed on top of a personality.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
So he wouldn't lose his original personality, but his Manchurian candidate persona, Vok,
but in reverse.
Is there. Yes. And this is where Tyler does a little bone crushing himself, and he grabs Culber, and he snaps his neck.
That was a literal what the hell moment.
That shocked me.
I literally, my hands went to my face, and I'm like, oh my God. And I sat on the edge of the couch.
I did
my
too.
Wife was freaking out. That doesn't happen to me with TV
or Star Trek,
especially with Star Trek, and I was just blown away by that. I'm like, he's got to still be alive somehow. I don't know.
Maybe that's the one thing they can fix. I don't know, but I was like, if you think you said it to him, the last thing you say to him is, I don't think you're you. If you had that shot at the beginning of the conversation, he sat on the bed. You put that force field up. Why did you not put the force field up?
Well. I mean, I think more than anything is I was in the same. I was literally watching this episode by myself, and when that happened, I gasped and I was like shocked. I couldn't believe
it. I was also shocked. I was like, what just happened?
Yeah. But a pretty pretty crazy turn of events there.
Turn of events. Turn his head all the way around.
All the way around. That's a 180. That's a 180 turn of events.
Look what's behind you.
It's me. Klingon Mach Tak Jaj is behind you.
And then he runs out. Real quickly, back up real quick, is that there was the whole, after they put on the uniforms and they've changed themselves and made themselves look like the Terran Empire, contacted the Shenzhou. And basically, Michael Berman is playing captain, and she says, yeah, I made you think I was dead, but I was hunting down Lorca. And so I want the Shenzhou to come back here to me right now. So,
And one of the things I got to point out, too, is the uniforms that, like, Ash Tyler is wearing. I don't know if you guys remember a game called Shattered Universe.
Mm-mm.
I have not.
There's a PS2 game called Shattered Universe where it's a Mirror Universe thing with Sulu and Chekhov and them. And their uniforms in that, which are movie-era uniforms for the Mirror Universe, look very, very, very almost identical to what we see. So that was a nice nod. And again, Trek Yards is doing an episode on that later this week. So just so you guys know, check it out.
Absolutely. Check out their stuff. Especially, I mean, like that too, but I love that canon size of Discovery. That just blows my mind. Especially since Discovery sinks that, like, I was like, oh, it sinks like maybe like, you know, a dozen or, you know, 2 dozen meters. It's got to sink like 100 or so meters now that we know how big it is. After it spore jumps, mm-hmm. It's got the weird drop thing it does. I'm like, wow, it's got to fall a lot. Good thing they didn't like fall on the building in Corvan 2.
Oops, killed all those.
Oops, we're supposed to save those guys. Shit.
Ah, the Klingons did it.
They'll never know. Hey, Aaron.
Hello.
Hey, Aaron. I killed him.
You blew his mind, literally.
He's not on the channel anymore.
Well, let's get him back.
We're going to attempt time travel. We are computing our trajectory at this time.
Get him back! Get him back!
Hello, computer.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. I was talking. I was actually in the middle of telling a joke, and all of a sudden it just died. And I could hear you guys.
It must have been a bad joke.
It was.
Skype censored you. Yeah. The NSA has censored you somehow.
That's for other reasons.
But Stuart was saying how he said he was having a good time. So thank you, Stuart. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, this is awesome. I would be more than willing to do this again. This is just fun. So
cool. Awesome.
Star Trek and dirty humor. It's the perfect combo. And I finished my Romulan ale, by the way. So I'm like, you know, six shots deep.
Oh Jesus! Now we're in trouble. So we left off. We're still recording, right, Dave?
Yes, sir. I've not hit stop on the recorder.
All right. So we left off. Basically, we're talking about crushing all those people on Corvon. Two?
Yeah, I was saying the ship dropped out, and then I was like, oh, wow, I must have killed Aaron.
Well, I made the joke that, because I think we were saying how if it dropped down, it would kill them all. And I said, well, it'd be funny if there was a whole, like, impression of the Discovery right where all the people were.
Just like like the park in Star Trek IV with the convention. Yeah.
I think it's safe to say that Discovery has definitely made an impression everywhere.
Aye, aye, Captain Foley.
And Lorca's like telling Cornwell, like, no, I didn't do that.
That must have been the crossfield. Because I know the Glen's destroyed. It had to be the crossfield. We didn't make it.
It was obviously you. All right. So as we said, so basically they make this plan to take over the Shenzhou using Lorca as kind of like their prisoner in tow. Tyler's going with them as kind of a security detail. And when they get over to so Tyler kills Culver and then heads over to the transporter room right afterward. And beams over. So
yeah, I got no excuse for being late. No excuse. I want to tell you anyway.
I don't know what I was doing. Which makes me wonder. I got to jump in here. This is kind of, it's relevant, obviously. But so the dead body that's in sickbay. Do you think people are going to assume that Stamets did it in one of his like crazy
fits of?
I don't think so, because I think the force field was still up. How could he do it with the force field up?
He would find a way.
Also, where's all the nurses and the main doctor and, like, anybody else? There was supposed to be a different doctor in charge of Stamets. Why was there no one else in sickbay? Why did no one pull a phaser on Ash? Get your security cameras. It's one thing in Star Trek Discovery that's kind of been driving me nuts. It's like, even back in Choose Your Pain, like, why did they need a bug on the bug? Like, why don't they have internal sensors that show you what's happening inside the rooms? You'd think that'd be kind of standard.
That's a good point.
So if they don't know that Ash killed him, I'm going to be like, come on, guys. Come on. Internal sensors, cameras, something. Standard procedure, you know, hundreds of years ago.
I mean, it is possible maybe that at that moment sick bay was empty and people were in different parts of a sick bay or different parts of the ship. That's very possible. But I mean,
shift change.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the late night.
The perfect timing.
So, yeah. To snap the doctor's neck.
They were going to get the new uniforms for the doctors. They're all red.
So the plan goes into motion. They go under the Shenzhou. And this is where we get this real crazy scene where they're going to take Lorca to the brig, but the brig is quite different to what we would imagine. They basically stick them into these
agonizer booths.
Yeah. It's pretty disturbing. Well,
that's a mirror universe staple though.
Yeah. And it's actually an agonizer booth that looks agonizing. Like that looks painful the way they did it.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, you see it and you're like, wow, this is like Lorca signed up for this. So,
and the only other thing in there is the prison cell where the people that
are waiting
the agonizer booth get to see everybody else being hear them being screened. Tortured. So,
well, yeah, this is one thing I think that puts a hole in the thought that Lorca is a mirror universe Lorca, because if he's a mirror universe Lorca, I don't think he would volunteer to be a prisoner on the Shenzhou, because he would know what was coming. There's
unless he gets off on the agonizer booths. I don't know.
Or maybe he has some device that blocks it and he just mimics it.
It doesn't look like it, but he could be faking. But well, I guess we'll find out next week.
So
next week on Star Trek Discovery, does Lorca get off on agonizer booths?
Oh yeah.
Like so,
he can't stop coming.
Maybe think of grandma's boy there.
Can't stop coming.
Oh man. Well, anyways, then we get this great sequence where Michael Berman gets it, or Captain Berman gets onto the turbo lift with his the former captain of the Shenzhou, and he makes a power play, as you do in the Terran Empire, and they go into this great fight sequence inside the turbo lift, and Michael Berman kills Connor.
Connor, yeah.
And kills him. But there's a great scene where he kicks out, like, I don't know if it's the anti-grav or something into the turbo lift, and they just go flying up in the sky. It was pretty cool, actually.
That was a great sight scene.
Did you know that he was the guy from earlier when she was in the brig? He came down.
Oh, yeah.
And he's
yeah.
like, we're not warriors. We're explorers. And then the brig blows out, and he's gone. So she saw him die and sees him alive and then has to kill him.
Yeah. Which like, is fantastic. Feel bad.
It's pretty messed up. Pretty.
It would be even more messed up if it was Philippa Giorgio that she had to kill.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That would be even more messed up because this guy was just
her to show up.
Yeah, I was too.
Well, I think she still will.
Hmm.
Okay. Well, we can only hope. So we get this great sequence after she kills Connor and she gets onto the bridge. Basically, the whole crew's great, happy that the Captain Berman's back, and they go, "Long live Captain Berman! Long live the Empire!" And it was a pretty cool scene.
He falls dead as soon as the door opens, and everyone's like, "Yeah, I didn't like that Captain anyway."
Yeah, that was perfect. That was exactly what the Mirror Universe would do. So,
yeah, clean this shit up, would you? And so Tyler is in Michael Berman's quarters when she gets off of her duty.
The funny thing I was thinking, I was like, oh, no, it's the captain's quarters. Like, is there going to be some honeys in there? Because, I mean, you know, the captains always keep, like, a chick in the bed in the Mirror Universe. So I was like, is there going to be, like, a woman in her bed just, like, hanging out?
Well, she's straight, so maybe it's not that.
Because of Connor.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah, yeah.
Because I was like, oh no, is there going to be some chick in there already because of, you know, how the Mirror Universe captains are?
He's like, get your hoochie mamas out of here. So
I'm.
But then we get this really nice little ending scene between Tyler and Berman at the end, basically saying that I will protect you no matter what.
Is it nice?
And then they're having this little cuddle session. And then we pan back to Lorca and the agonizer booth screaming,
"Can't stop coming!" No.
So, and this is where the episode ends. You are our guest here, Captain Foley. What, after seeing this, full spoilers, just let out everything of your ideas about this episode, takeaways, thoughts, anything.
It was fantastic.
That's always
the end.
Good night, folks.
Like I said, this is one that I think a lot of the older Trekkies are going to really appreciate, the fact that they're kind of tying in some continuity now. We got the Constitution class. We at least saw one, and it looks somewhat similar to what it should look like. And I think a lot of people that have been on the fence about hating Discovery might come on board with this one. But then again, those haters are pure haters, and we have to deal with that all the time, and it's really annoying.
It is annoying.
Yeah, I thought it was a fantastic episode. I love the character development in it, to see the way that they deal with this situation, especially Tilly. I mean, I've always been a fan of Tilly, and just now it's ramped up a thousandfold.
I'll rip out your tongue and use it to lick my boots.
Can't stop coming.
Yeah. Well, the line, "cut your tongue out and lick my boots with it," I thought, no, they should have redone that one. It should have been, "I'd cut your tongue out and clean my boots with it." You know, that would have made more sense.
Yeah.
Still licking, but you know. But no, I think overall it was a fantastic episode. Really great acting, really great character development. Unfortunately, Hugh died, which bugs me because I really liked him as a character. Mm-hmm. Whether he's coming back somehow, I don't know. There's got to be a Mirror Universe Hugh out there somewhere. Maybe he just comes back with them. I don't know what to say about that, but I think it's got a lot of potential, and I'm really looking forward to what's next. Like, is this going to be the last six episodes of this season in the Mirror Universe, or are they going to wrap this up with the next episode? I'm really looking forward to how they move forward from this point.
Dave?
This was so good. I Context is for Kings was my favorite episode. I think up until this one. Now this one totally takes it. It's so awesome seeing all the Mirror Universe references and stuff. It's so well directed. Jonathan Franks, I love you. Man, it's just everything I wanted and more. My original Vok theory was right, that they surgically altered him. He's the Arn Darvin of Discovery. They took the memory Ingrams of Ash and stuck it on to Vox. And apparently they did it too well, because they've messed up real bad. Because the prayer didn't fully awaken him, or it's just happening slower than they originally planned. Maybe the fact that Ash is in love with Michael is what's making that persona hang on longer than it should.
Yeah, that's kind of the vibe I got with that. And it'll be interesting too. I don't know if she's capable of mind melds, but it'd be cool if she would have to go in there and kind of pull Ash out if Vok does show up fully. If that's the thing that could happen. I mean, because they've worked on this relationship, and I've really grown to like Tyler. I didn't want to at first because I kind of thought he might be Vok, but I don't know what to say.
Well, that's the thing is with the Tyler, I was like, the reason I held on to him being Vok so long and so hard was because they're trying way too hard to make us like him. Like, he should hate, because since she started the war, he should hate her for basically getting him thrown in the Klingon brig for 7 months and all that torture. Like, they're trying way too hard to make him likable. And so that's why I'm like, yeah, he's got to be. There's no reason for him to be that likable after all that's been done to him.
It's anybody who's been tortured by them for 9 months shouldn't be that likable.
No, he should be a dick.
it's almost too early for that reveal, though. You know what I mean? I thought they would drag it out a little bit longer.
I've been dying.
And what a bad time for it to happen when everything else is going wrong.
Well, that's the perfect time for it to happen, for drama.
Ah, drama.
Well, and then, you know, what's going to, obviously, I mean, in my mind, it's going to happen is, you know, he's going to release Laurel. Laurel's going to cause all sorts of shit on Discovery at some point. I mean, I know they're on the Shenzhou now, but something's going to happen that, you know, she gets loose and they make life way more difficult within the Terran Empire. I actually hope that this stretches out to maybe a 3-episode, you know,
John Tyler universe.
Yeah. Instead of just the 2, it's obviously they're going to stay in it for another episode, but will they stay in for 3 episodes?
They did show them stuffing Stamets into the spore drive, so I think
get in there,
get us out of here. So I
yeah, but will he be able to? That's the problem. Maybe they jump somewhere worse, or they're just jumping somewhere else in the Mirror Universe.
They jump to the DS9 version of the Mirror Universe, where the humans are like slaves. God, Kirk, you messed up.
I can honestly see them carrying this the next 6 episodes to the end of season 1.
I can't.
All in the Mirror Universe.
They haven't wrapped up the Klingon War yet. And the producers and writers keep saying that the Klingon War is going to be over and done with in season 1, and season 2 is going to be something completely different. So I feel like they have to get back before the end so they can wrap up the Klingon War.
Maybe they go back. And they find out that the Mirror Universe Discovery was just so pissed off, they just wiped out all the Klingons and just
single-handedly.
The war's over now. Yeah, that, exactly.
That would be messed up. That would be interesting. And what about you, Aaron?
I highly enjoyed this episode. For as much moving parts in this episode, it really worked really well for story-wise. I mean, there is a lot of gears to turn, and nothing really came off. You know, I mean, like you guys said before, the acting's all there, and Jonathan Frank's directing is just wonderful.
Can you direct the rest of the season, please?
Oh, geez. Yeah, can he? Please. I mean, he knocks it out of the park every freaking time. He really is awesome. So that was really cool. The one thing I had an issue is at the very end where Tyler and Berman are like, you know, in the quarters cuddling, and then they have Lorca's in the agonizing booth. I'm like, you know, he's in there. Like, you can't just cuddle. I'm sorry. You're going to have to just, you know, I know that breastplate's heavy and those boots are terrible, but you're going to have to, you know, kick it into high.
Yeah. Speaking of, how do people not get assassinated every other minute on the Mirror Universe? Did you see how long it took her to take all that stuff off? Like, that's prime time for stabbing someone in the back.
Well, I've always had issues with the Mirror Universe for the reason that it's extremely difficult, you know, to justify a whole civilization based off, you know, people trying to murder everybody. And
Klingons run ships. I mean, Klingons murder.
It doesn't make any freaking sense either to me. But
yeah, but the thing that bothers me about the Mirror Universe specifically is the fact that all the main characters are still there. Why weren't their parents murdered? Why weren't they murdered as, you know, junior officers? I know only the best of the best make it that far. That's kind of Doug Drexler's reasoning for that. Right. But for them to be all basically in the same spots just doesn't make sense logistic-wise with a universe and a culture like that.
And the ships all having the same name. Very weird for a culture like that to, you know, have a ship called Discovery and stuff you know.
What do we call the Bone Crusher?
Bone Crusher, the knife through neck, know. Yeah. Entrails are us.
A trail of tears or something like that. Awful, you know. Just it's just the worst things you can think of, you know.
Indian trail of tears.
Well, yeah. Well, that's why. That's why.
The Shinju should have been called the Sungzu.
Yeah. Yeah. It should be. So I mean, there's a lot of things like that that don't always make sense. But I mean, it's obviously fiction, and it's just supposed to be fun. So,
and it was fun. So much.
Oh yeah,
fun.
I mean, in the Enterprise, in Enterprise when they show the Defiant and all that stuff. I mean, they showed what was it, a 2-part series that had nothing to do with the rest of the storyline. They just dropped those two episodes in just for fun. So,
I wonder if we'll see Tholians.
Yeah, I don't know,
because weren't the Tholians kind of like part of what happened with why the Defiant got sent back in time?
No, the Tholians were just there to, because they were the ship, Defiant was going in and out of existence through some space-time issue. Mm. So they were dropping in and out of space, just like Kirk was doing that too. But the Tholians were spinning the web around the Enterprise, so they were just like kind of a barrier.
Gotcha. It's been a while since I've seen the Tholian web. I should have watched.
Web's pretty fun. I should have watched everyone. It. Everyone crying about Kirk, you know, and him floating. I love that.
I would just love to see the Tholians on a Star Trek Discovery budget, though, because we don't ever see the Tholians that much.
Yeah, Tholians are supposed to be really cool, but Tholians are supposed to live at a really high temperature, like a ridiculous amount, like maybe not living on the sun, but like in a hugely volcanic.
But they keep Horta as pets. They can just slobber all over them, and it'd be fine.
I think they're silicon based, but I'm not entirely certain on that.
Oh, just like the Horta, they'd get along great.
Yeah, they are.
Horta's got to be their pets. That'd be great. I want to see this.
but yeah, it was so. But I did enjoy this episode quite a bit, and it was a lot of fun. I haven't digested enough to maybe put it into the best of all Star Trek, but I mean, it is pretty darn good.
I can't wait to see how they follow up next episode. And to bring back one of your jokes, Aaron, did I see Tuvok?
Tuvok? Well, we don't know if we'll see Tuvok, but
well, it looked like Ash Vok was fighting Vok.
Yeah.
In the trailer.
yeah.
Tuvok.
It's a joke. Anyways.
I'm ashamed I didn't laugh at that last time. I just jumped right over it. I'm just like, oh. Yeah, it's actually funnier than I thought it was.
Yeah. I just wanted to say Tilly's drive and determination to be a captain in the Prime universe or the Prime timeline really will be bolstered by this, because she now has the confidence that she needs to actually get that rank of captain in the Prime timeline.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Very true.
Now that she's gotten the taste of the seat.
Yeah. Oh, man. Sit in that seat.
Oh man, I just wonder what they're gonna do with Stamets, because you know Stamets, you know, a lot of people are gonna think, oh, he's just uttering nonsense, except for the enemy is here. But you know, again, going back to like, don't enter the temple, like that's super fascinating. Don't look at, you know, Ash's body. Like, well, I wonder what he's gonna be saying in the next episode. And I thought it was really interesting that his eyes, he's not blind, he's just seeing all of reality, and then he can come back for at least a second. You know,
right.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be interesting to see, like, is he experiencing all of different realities and he's trying his best to speak out? Like, that'll be interesting to see what that is.
I mean, it's obvious that he's definitely somehow tied into the mycelium network. You know, he's jumping in and out, or somehow his mind is seeing, you know, through time and space. But we don't know quite how. I mean, when we had the whole Harry Mudd episode where he could cut through all the destructions of the Discovery, he knew what was happening. So
yeah. What about Lorca and his very obvious trying to hide the logs for the spore jumps? Because he did input that in the last episode. Is he trying to hide what he did, or does he really just think it doesn't matter? And I know we discussed with the spore drive before in the past about how, like, Stamets is just a biological filter, but some people are saying that maybe Stamets was so tired from the 133 jumps that it was him that put them in the mirror universe and not Lorca.
Yeah, well, there is some sketchy shit going on with Lorca there, though. I want to find out what that's about.
But yeah, obviously if he's not a mirror universe operative like that theory, there's something else going on with him that he just wants to keep this war going, or he's doesn't want to. I mean, obviously he's broken so many rules. Even with Admiral Cornwell, he kind of was like, I guess I won't be relieved from duty now, because Cornwell was captured. So obviously he's doing everything.
But the thing is, when they said, you know, you're going to be getting the Legion of Honor, come back to Starbase 46, the look on that Vulcan's face when he ended that transmission, mm-hmm. were they just telling him that to get him back there?
Well, maybe. I mean, it's very possible.
Well, another interesting thing is
Cornwall was going to have him removed. So I don't know. Unless she feels his actions are justified now because him doing that saved her life.
Right.
Well, and another interesting thing is that he ends the transmission right after he says he's going to win the medal medal, and then he goes to Stamets and he tells Stamets that, oh, I told him to give it to you instead. He did not say that.
Uh-huh. Unless there was another transmission afterwards, which we weren't aware of.
Maybe.
Maybe, but maybe not.
I mean, Lorca is shady, and I mean, there's other things going on. So if he's not from the mirror universe, like that suggestion is, he's definitely playing an angle for power. You know, we just don't know what it is. So
my theory is that he's been Section 31 all along, which is why he's, you know, loose and fast with the rules, because Section 31 isn't bound by any of the rules. And I don't want him to be mirror. I want him to be Section 31, because that'll give credence to those black badges we saw in Episode 3. If he's mirror universe, yeah. I just can't see him being mirror universe and offering to be bait in the agonizer booth.
I think he's I still think he could be Garth of Isengard.
Garth of Isengard. No.
It's a possibility, but whatever.
The Agonizer booth drove him insane. I came too many times.
I can't stop coming.
Oh, man.
Well,
thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah. That's all, folks. A bee. Mm. Well, yeah, so great episode. Anything else we want to add?
I think I'm good. How about you, Stuart?
I think I'm good. I mean, this has been a blast chatting with you guys. I really had fun. So,
well, thank you so much. Well, thank you for joining us. And tell them where they can find you on the socials, Captain Foley.
Facebook. You can go to Facebook. There you have the Trek Yards page. We also have a Fleet Yards page if you're just interested in regular sci-fi. Or you can head on over to YouTube and just type in Trek Yards, and you'll find all of our episodes. Please subscribe and join the fun. Click the notification icon. We upload almost every day, and we've always got great stuff to talk about.
You guys are workhorses. I don't know how you guys do it. Between the podcast and the two videos I put up a week, I'm like dying.
I don't know how we do it either. But yet, here we are, 3 years in.
That's absolutely amazing. The show, Syntholics, you can find it at syntholics.com. We're on Twitter at Syntholic Duo. You can find us on Facebook. Join the Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/Syntholics. And the YouTube channel. Just type in Syntholics to YouTube, and you'll probably find drink videos where I make cocktails, Star Trek-based and otherwise, and our Star Trek Discovery lookbacks that we've been doing kind of recapping the first 9 episodes week by week. And then, yeah, the regular podcast shows up on there as well. Aaron.
Hey, if you have a chance, please go on to iTunes, rate and review us. Preferably give us 5 stars and please say something nice about us, please. And that helps feed the algorithms.
That should be your New Year's resolution.
Yeah, you should do it for us. Rate and review.
And I just joined your Facebook group.
Thank you. Awesome.
Awesome. See, and then you can talk to Captain Foley this whole time. So he'll be chiming in and making fun of Agonizer booths. And next, if you can, if you have the extra pocket change, go to our Patreon/Synthaholics. If you want to throw a buck our way, a buck a month, that's not much to ask for the show that we put out for you. And we try to give all this feedback and ideas on Discovery, but all sorts of other things. We've just done Black Mirror and Last Jedi, so we touch on many subjects.
And Trek Yards also has a Patreon, so go check them out as well. Give them all your support and love as well.
Absolutely.
And not only all your support and love, but all your money would be good too.
Give us all your money.
Well, you know, you can share. You can split the money between us.
Yeah,
you know,
no, he's going to take it all.
A little bit.
He's going to take it all.
But on Twitter, you can find the show at Synthaholic Duo. Personally, I'm David_J_Duncan, and Aaron is at Blackbird2004.
Like I said, if you have any that extra change, throw it our way. But also, you could, as always, just tell a friend. It's a wonderful thing. Word of mouth is a wonderful way to... you know, share the show and get more exposure to us. So if you know somebody who likes Star Trek, likes sci-fi, likes podcasts, throw them our way.
Absolutely. You know, you can go door to door like the Mormons do too. I mean, it works for them. It works, you know, it can work for us.
That's what I do, but in my Starfleet uniform.
Exactly.
Yes. And I have all the rules, the Starfleet rules with me.
So, Starfleet charter, yeah.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
You don't have to ride a bike. You can just get an Argo. And that's kind of got an engine in it already, so you don't have to pedal.
Yeah, but mine is kind of like foot-powered like the Flintstones, since I don't know how to build any of that shit, so I just kind of roll around the neighborhood.
Well, thank you again, Captain Foley, for joining us. It's been so great getting to talk with you about Star Trek Discovery, and this was a big one because we're coming back from that, it felt like forever, that break.
Exactly, yeah. Thank you for having me, guys. It was so much fun.
Awesome.
Well, and to you all the listeners, thank you so much for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all.
And we'll bullshit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
Yay!
Cool.
Yay.
Only some technical difficulties.